Next on BYU Sports Nation, the post-spring depth chart is out. Does it matter at all, or is it a great indicator of who the ballers are?
It's not a Logan takeover, but Brian Logan will join the program. He'll join us to discuss the depth chart and any surprises he sees.
Plus, a cornerback transfers. Is the Fan Fest going to your town? And the candy-giving softball coach joins us. Let's go!
This is BYU Sports Nation, brought to you by the BYU Store. Simulcast on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Now from Studio B, your hosts, Jerem Jordan and Jason Shepherd.
What is good, people? BYU Sports Nation is live, presented by the BYU Store, the official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Tuesday, April 19th. I'm Jerem Jordan alongside Jason Shepherd, who is a huge fan of the Fan Fests.
Love the Fan Fests. Lots of fans. They're very festive.
They're very festive. And let's talk about that, because the BYU football team is going to hit the road. I know the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints cut the road shows, but that doesn't mean the football team's not going to be the road show, if you will, this summer. So this Saturday in Mesa, Arizona, members of the football team and BYU athletic department will be there. Other cities involved this summer: Pleasanton, California; West Valley and Lehi, Utah; Irvine, California; wink, wink; and La'i'e, Hawaii. BYU will also hold firesides in some of those cities and the cities near some of the games. So if you want information about whether BYU is coming to your town, go to BYUCougars.com. This is very cool. I like Kalani Sitake and the BYU Athletic Department. It's not just football. It's the Athletic Department. They're going to take this to the people. And they did a couple of these last year, but they are going even further this year.
And they're getting bigger and bigger. You're starting to get much more of a turnout. First of all, I mean, we know anytime you're going to have football coaches and players out and about, you're going to have a ton of BYU fans show up. Especially if you're talking about places like Mesa, places like that. I mean,
there are a few BYU fans
just,
in these places.
Just a few. And
La'i'e.
I want to know if there's anybody that has had to be asked twice when they've been asked to go to the one in Hawaii. Like, if there's any football player, like, you know, we're going to need you to come with us to Hawaii. Yes.
I don't know if I can make
yes, it. Yes, I will be there.
I got workouts. I got to go to Seven
off-season,
Peaks.
Off-season program.
Seven Peaks, get in the wave pool or something. I don't know, man. Here today is BYU Sports Nation headlines. The football team also in the news, releasing its post-spring depth chart yesterday. Freshman Troy Warner listed as a starting cornerback. More of those coming up in trending.
BYU defensive back Jordan Prater announced via Twitter that he will be transferring from the team, saying the following, quote, "For those texting, calling, messaging, yes, I am transferring. No, it isn't my option. Yes, it's the best thing for me. Thank you, Cougs."
The baseball team falls to number 24 in the latest NCBWA poll following a series loss to St. Mary's over the weekend. They're also ranked 21st in the coaches' poll. They play three games with Creighton this weekend, beginning Friday, 8 Eastern, on BYU TV.
Yeah, then a doubleheader on Saturday. And the women's golf team is in first place after day one of the WCC Championships. Leah Garner is currently in second. Kendra Dalton is tied for third. The men's team is tied for sixth.
Good luck today in the West Coast Conference Championships. Lots to discuss with the depth chart, so let's get to it. Rise and shout. Start for what's trending.
You're talking about it, and so are we. It's what's trending on BYU Sports Nation.
Post-spring for what? Yesterday, the BYU football team announced its post-spring depth chart. To some, this is meaningless. I get it. To others, it's everything. I also get that. And that brings us to today's Twitter question.
How much value do you put into the BYU football post-spring depth chart? Mm. Our first tweet, and don't forget to use hashtag BYUSN. First tweet coming in from at Monique Laughs, zero. They released it to give the media something to talk about. They wouldn't do that. How many days, by the way, until Arizona? Hashtag countdown to the Wildcats.
Countdown to the Wildcats.
137. I think last week we talked about maybe harmonizing. We never actually did that. Spencer's back tomorrow, so that was our later.
Well, you know what? Let's pocket that.
Yes.
Put it in the back pocket.
We have 137 days. There are plenty of opportunities.
One of these days we will remember. But now you're behind this, right? Because now we're talking post-spring depth chart. There's actual football news, tangible things to look at. You can get behind this countdown, right?
This is tangible. I think so. It's 137. That's just a big number still. Like, if there's paper, you know, along the ceiling of your house or whatever for every day, you're like waiting for a missionary to come home or something. That's a lot of days still, right? 137? But we're going to get you through that, and part of that is the post-spring depth chart. Now, that tweet was funny. Zero, they released it to give the media something to talk about. We are going to talk about it, that's
for
sure.
And we thank you for it.
But there is some value to it. to me, and I think you agree with this in our conversations, what's the value of the post-spring depth chart? What I have in my hand is 85% of what it's going to be in the fall, maybe even 90%, okay? When you see names like Taysom Hill and Tanner Mangum, that's who it's going to be, right? Random positioning, Will Linebacker, Francis Bernard, and Johnny Tapusoa. There's not going to be a lot of guys that all of a sudden show up in August and then get into this. There will be some, but there won't be a ton. To me, this is a public affirmation of who the coaches trust, who's here, ready to go, and who they think can ball. There's a lot of value, in my opinion, to this.
I think there's a ton of value in it. I mean, and I understand that people look at it and say, okay, well, we're 137 days away. Fall camp is months away. You know, what does this really tell us? Well, like you said, it gives you a pretty good indication where this coaching staff is leaning. And I can tell you who really puts a lot of stock into it. How about the players who are on this depth chart?
Or that aren't.
Yeah, because they see that the coaching staff is taking notice, and you can't tell me that if you're Francis Bernard, who, you know, was just switched over to the defensive side of the football as a linebacker, and you see your name as the starting, you know, weak side linebacker, you can't tell me that's not going to give you confidence. So I think that there is quite a bit of value in this post-spring depth chart.
There will be some movement, yes. But to me, there's not going to be a ton from what happens in the fall. If a guy's not on here, the likelihood of him getting in here is tough. He's got to show up in August, and he has literally 3 weeks of preparation and then 1 week of prep for the actual game. Three of just generic practicing, right? So, of course, you see Taysom Hill and Tanner Mangum, Jamal Williams on here. To me, the best thing that pops out about post-spring, this depth chart, that Taysom Hill and Jamal Williams are on this. I know that we've known this for a while, but the fact that these two are on the roster, they're on this team, that means a lot for this team because they are the two best playmakers that BYU has. Then you see a guy like Aljon Brown. He's the fullback. The wide receivers, listen to these guys. Nick Kurtz, Mitchell Juergens, Marone Laulo-Pututau, Colby Pearson. Four experienced dudes. And then the offensive line, there's some experience back, but how will this group gel? One name you don't see on there, obviously, Tijon Kroma, not on the team this semester. When you look at other guys that could join the roster, who's the one guy that you think will be in the depth chart that isn't right now?
For me, it's Tijon Kroma. This is a guy, if he's on the team when the season starts, he immediately walks in as your starting center.
Amen. I mean, will he have to earn it internally? Yes, but he's the best center that BYU has.
He has solidified that offensive line for the last 2 years. And so if he's on this team, he walks in day one and he's your starting center.
Yeah. To me, I look at Handsome Taniello, a defensive lineman, really, really high JUCO prospect out of Snow that will be an impact player in the interior of that defensive line. I also look at other guys like Jonah Trinneman, wide receiver from Snow. BYU is very excited about him. Inoke Lotulele as well, kid from Cottonwood. He played in spring, getting his legs under him post-mission. He's a baller too. How about Uriah Leotawa, the kid from Compton, Stanford commit. So there are several dudes. I'm probably missing others. Use the hashtag BYUSN. Let us know who you think will be in this depth chart that isn't now. But to me, this is a great indication of who is probably going to be the main dudes this fall.
And I think it speaks very highly of a guy like Troy Warner, who comes in as a freshman and right now is listed. Now, it's an or with Akili Davis, but he's
who converted from receiver.
Exactly.
That's a big one, too.
Exactly. You know, at left corner, Troy Warner is freshman coming in, and he has already garnered that much responsibility and confidence from the coaching staff. I think that's a big deal. You know, and I mentioned
nice use of Garner, by the way.
Thank you very much. You know, I mentioned earlier the fact that Francis Bernard, just literally a month or two after making the switch from offense to defense, joins a pretty potent linebacking core. I mean, you're talking about joining the likes of Harvey Longy and Fred Warner. I mean, for the coaching staff to have just made that switch within the last 2 months. For Francis, and we kept hearing Francis Bernard is really killing it in practice. I mean, but to see it on paper wasn't just lip service. Hmm. They trust him in that short amount of time. I think that's a big deal.
And you look at the other linebacker, too, which is that hybrid position. Are they going to have a hand in the ground and be a D lineman or linebacker? Still up for debate. Sai Tautu and Sione Takitaki. So you have a bunch of linebackers that you really like. Blaine Fowler a couple days ago mentioned that he feels like there's some NFL potential. among that linebacking group. You look at the defensive line, too. If Travis Tuiloma can get healthy, and he's listed as a starter, there is a really good player as well. And you mentioned Troy Warner in the secondary. You bring back some experience in there. Kai Nakua, Micah Hanneman, the switch to safety, Michael Davis at corner, and then these backups will develop. So I think BYU has a good team. I think this is somewhere between an 8 and 10 win team, depending on how injuries and the schedule shakes out this season. But it's fun because on April 19th, trust me, we have 137 days to sit here and prognosticate. And yes, it is media fodder, but I think there's some values. There are those on Twitter that don't think there's a ton of value. We'll get to those tweets in a second. Use the hashtag BYUSN. One position that kind of sticks out, though, is tight end on this. Tanner Baldery and Nate Sampson listed here, which brings us to the stat of the day.
It's the BYU Sports Nation stat of the day.
BYU tight ends have combined for zero catches, for 0 yards, and zero touchdowns.
Jetty face. Nothing! Nothing! These guys are brand new. Remember last year, BYU had to convert a defensive lineman, Remington Peck, who actually threw a touchdown. Remember that? Caught a touchdown in the Las Vegas Bowl as well. So this group for tight ends, I mean, Tanner Baldry has proven himself to be a good blocker. Didn't catch a pass all of last year. Remember, Steven Richards was hurt in fall camp. He was going to be the starter as well. So Nate Sampson, that's your younger brother, Brian Sampson, by the way. So you have brothers dueling for a tight end spot. Younger bro got the depth chart mentioned, by the way. So Ty Detmer has been adamant that the tight end is going to be used more. Is BYU going to have a 1,000-yard receiver tight end? No, that's not going to happen next year. But a couple hundred yards from somebody? We'll see. Because a bunch of guys have converted from different positions to tight end. We still don't know all the dudes that are going to be tight end. There are some that are listed as linebackers that will play tight end in the fall.
Just based off of that stat, though, it's going to be an uphill battle. Because to this point, nobody has been relied upon to be a pass-catching tight end. Or a tight end in general if they're coming from another position.
Yeah, and there was this, you're an inside receiver, but you're not a tight end kind of deal. Remember, yeah. Guy Holliday with that. Like, Taron Houck, was he a tight end? No, he was just a big receiver, but is a flex tight end. Like, is Jimmy Graham really a tight end for the Seahawks? He's a receiver. A tight end
is
tight.
I like how you mixed in the Seahawks.
On the end. Yes, tight end. Come on. Use the hashtag BYUSN. Weigh in on the conversation, which is this. How much value do you put into the BYU football post-spring depth chart? We say there's a lot of value. What do you say? Let's go to the Twitter machine.
Tweet, tweet.
At BYU Albert, April, me says, hold your horses. It's only spring. But August, me says, let's go. To that I ask, how much is this actually going to change between now and August? It's not.
What percentage did you give it a moment ago?
85 to 90.
See, I think that's pretty accurate. I think you're about 85 to 90%.
Do you think I'm 100% accurate on 85 to 90%?
Yes. I think that is actually 100% true. But, I mean, most of these guys on this depth chart, this is what it's going to look like. There's not going to be a ton of variation. That's one of the things. We're going to have Brian Logan coming up in our next segment, and I want to ask him, having been through this before and been in practices and watched guys, you know, jump into the two deep.
Including himself.
Yes. How difficult is it to make the two deep when you just arrive for fall camp?
Yes, and we have given you two JUCO guys like Brian Logan that we think will join the team and then jump in to the mix, Jonah Trinneman and Hanson Taniello. So if you have guys you think we'll jump into the mix, use the hashtag BYUSN and weigh in. Coming up, Kristen Dellahouse and Big Deal No Deal, but first, it's a sort of Logan takeover, and there's a lot to discuss in this depth chart. BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, the official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. We're simulcast on BYU Radio and BYU TV. Conversation's happening on Twitter right now. Follow us at BYU Sports Nation. Use the hashtag BYUSN.
Men's volleyball hosting UC Santa Barbara in the MPSF tournament semifinals on Thursday night. This guy's super excited.
Oh, yeah.
BYU fans are excited, of course. The match begins 9:30 Eastern time, and you can see it on BYU TV and hear it on BYU Radio.
It's going to be a fantastic night on BYUTV.org at 7 Eastern as well. The first match, which is a good one, UCLA Long Beach State, will be live online. So if you want to check that out, that is available. Plus, more on men's volleyball coming up. Some finalists for national awards. We'll announce those even before Off the Block has given them to us to announce first. So we'll tell you those coming up a little bit later. Our Twitter question, how much value do you put into the BYU football post-spring depth chart? At Ron Bond 2015, about 60%. People still fighting for spots. There's Orrs to consider, plus players coming in the fall. Jonah, Handsome, etc. I gave it 85 to 90%. But yeah, it's on the higher side of this is who's going to be there. Like, the depth chart for Arizona, I would think, would be 85% of what
it's going to look more like that than it isn't. How about that?
That's how we feel. If you feel otherwise, use the hashtag BYU. At BYU TeddyBear89, 50%. It's still very early, and some key players still missing, limited, but every journey has landmarks on the way. With that, let's bring in Brian Logan on the Deseret First Credit Union Hotline. Brian, how's it going, man?
It's going good. Going good, man. Just living the dream.
Absolutely. The post-spring depth chart's out. You were a guy that wasn't on a post-spring depth chart going into the 2009 season. Then in came this 5'9" baller who cracked the depth chart and was a starter. We've talked about a couple of guys like you, Handsome Taniello, Jonah Trinman, who aren't on this. But what do you think of the post-spring depth chart?
Yeah, oh, and just to correct you, Jaron, when I came in and I actually cracked the depth chart, I went back down to 5'6". So, yeah, 5'9", at least initially, then they got it right. But I think it's pretty good. I think it's solid. I think that this is exactly what fans should expect. And the main reason why is when you look at all of the projected starters, they're all juniors and seniors, most of them, right? Some of them are freshmen. You have a few sprinkled in here that are sophomores, but that lets us know that these guys have a lot of experience, just within the level of playing Division I football. And then as far as actual snaps and game reps, so I don't see it changing too much. If it was a situation where these guys were maybe younger, there wasn't a lot of experience in game reps, then I would say this doesn't really mean nothing.
Since we mentioned that it's something that you did, cracking the two deep, arriving for fall camp, how difficult is that for a player to come in who wasn't in spring and is just arriving in time for fall camp? How difficult is it for that athlete to crack the two deep?
Well, if you are a... If you're coming from a junior college, it's easy. I mean, this is what we do. This is what we live for.
It's easy?
Yeah, it's easy. No, it's not easy. It's easier than a freshman coming off of the yellow bus. I mean, the game speed is a little bit faster at the junior college level, so it's easier to adjust. You kind of are, I would say, in your grown man body. You got your grown man muscles, and you've been competing with grown men for the last 2 years. So the adjustment isn't that hard. It's really just the X's and O's. So if you can get the mindset right, if you can get more of the strategy, then you'll be fine. For a freshman, I feel like it's harder, but if you are a freak of nature like a Kyle Van Noy, where I think he could have actually played and started more his freshman year in 2010 when I was a senior – If you have that athletic ability, you know, fast, quick, you essentially have your grown man muscles. If you went through puberty a little bit earlier, I think you can adjust pretty easy. But it's hard, man. These guys have been working together. They've been in the system for a little bit longer. So it's just the reps and the experience.
Brian Logan is on BYU Sports Nation and says, depending on how fast you go through puberty, will be how fast you crack the depth chart. Brian, what sticks out about this depth chart to you?
I would say what I said earlier as far as the amount of, I would say, juniors, seniors that are in the number one position. I think the other thing that sticks out to me is the defensive line, the linebackers, the front seven, and kind of just seeing where everybody's going to fit in coming from the 3-4 system. So trying to figure out where certain people are going to play and trying to figure out, do their skill sets from a 3-4, you know, match a 4-3. But other than that, man, it's exciting to see just some of the names that you're familiar with, you've been talking about for the last couple of years that are back. And so when you just look at the seniors, when you look at the leadership, I mean, this team essentially has, I think, a lot of the tools to have a pretty competitive season. But that schedule, that makes your stomach turn a little bit.
Now that we actually have the opportunity to see these names in position groups on paper and realizing it's not 100% yet, what position are you most comfortable with and least comfortable with?
Secondary, just because that's
because secondary
the best group. Yeah, that because secondary. No, I mean these guys are talented. I think when you look at the starters, they can play almost any position, probably even quarterback. You know, shout out to my guy Kai Nakua. But I like Troy as well. You know, getting some reps. I've heard some pretty good things from some of the guys coming out of spring ball. I think quarterback is another position. Running back, there's guys all over the place that can play running back. I think the biggest probably concern is really just the front seven again. Trying to see, you know, what these guys are going to look like with game reps. I mean, they're going to have about a year to adjust to the system and whatnot. But I think that's what it is. But you know, when you have a solid secondary, and guys that can play man corner, guys that can lock down an entire side of the field, your defensive coordinator can do a lot with your safety. So if your guys need some extra run support, you know, just load the box, you know, tell your corners, hey, you're on your own, you got this, and, you know, go have fun, stop the run.
You mentioned Troy Warner a second ago, and the fact that as a freshman, you know, he's listed as a starter at that left. It's an or with Davis, but, you know, listed as a starter at that left corner. You combine that with what we're seeing with Francis Bernard being listed just months after being switched from offense to defense as a starting linebacker. Those two situations specifically, what do you think that says about the confidence level that the coaching staff has in those two players?
Well, you know, I haven't had a chance to see Troy. I've seen his highlight film, and obviously getting recruited by some big teams. So it doesn't really surprise you the fact that he's starting, especially at a school at BYU. No offense, I went to BYU. You know, hope nobody takes offense to that. But it's just
it makes sense.
Nice, I see what you did there. It makes sense. Now, I know sometimes coaches, when they get this big recruit, five-star guy, even if he sucks, they're going to put him out there as a starter, which, you know, I hate when coaches do that. Coach Mendenhall was the complete opposite. But from what I've seen on film, I don't think that's the case at all. And when you look at Francis Bernard, I mean, clearly the coaching staff came in and said, this dude is athletic, he's fast, he's big, he's strong. He's a waste of talent being on the offensive side. Let's put him where it really matters, and let's put him on the defensive side.
A waste of talent?
Sorry, I just decided on the offensive side. Hey, I haven't been on air for a while, man. I'm just trying to get it all.
We are live, just so you know. This is not recorded.
It's my way of venting. But, no, I mean, clearly when you look at Jamal, when you look at Squally and what they can do, their abilities, yeah, it makes more sense, especially with the depth that you have at the linebacking position. But again, you have a kid that is just athletic. He has all the talent in the world. And I'm not going to lie. I'm saying this, you know, wholeheartedly. I'm not trying to joke here. The best and the most athletic kids tend to play defense because it's a much more, I would say, harder role to play because you are reactive. You're always in a reactive state. And so you have to have, I think, a little bit more talent. So I think that just speaks to, you know, the athleticism that he has for him to come in, pick it up, and be a starter right away.
No, I feel you on that. You're not running to a spot or in an area, right? You got to cover some ground. I believe it. Brian Logan's on BYU Sports Nation. Yesterday, the Orlando Sentinel, the newspaper there, named the top 25 non-conference games. BYU had three of those, Utah, UCLA, and Michigan State. What are the three best games, in your opinion, on the schedule for BYU?
For BYU, you know, I would have to say Michigan State. I'm intrigued with that. I think that Utah is important as well, and I think it's more in a sense for pride for the coaching staff to come in and say, hey, look, you know, Bronco really hasn't had a lot of success with rivalry games. You know, we want to come and change that. So, you know, and actually, you know what? Let's scratch that. Let's bet Utah number one for that very reason. I think when you have a new coaching staff, as fans, we're going to be lenient. We're going to understand that, hey, you know, we expect them to take a couple on the chin. And we are going to give the coaching staff some time to kind of grow and develop their program as they see fit. But somewhere where I think that fans can really be onboarded and follow Kalani and the staff and really get more excited is if he can go in and give Utah a 1-2 punch and get that win that we all want. And I think this could potentially, with the schedule, be a reversal. We've seen, you know, more up north with Utah. You know, you lose five or six games, you make it to a basic bowl game, but you beat BYU. Hey, championship, Super Bowl, yay, let's have fun. and I think that could be the same thing with us as fans. You know, if we win decent, you know, good amount of games, we're competitive, you know, we have an opportunity to get to a bowl game, we get to a basic one, but we beat Utah, this is a successful season. So I think really, you know, Utah would probably be my number one choice.
You know, Brian, and it's not that BYU needs the schedule to be legitimized, because we know how good it is. We know how big of a schedule that this is that BYU's playing, but I think it's a pretty cool thing that, and not that the Orlando Sentinel is the end-all be-all of media, but the fact that, you know, entities outside of the state and the other part of the country are taking notice of what BYU is doing from a scheduling standpoint, I think that's a big deal.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, I think this goes back to Coach Mendenhall and Tom Holmes. Their goal when going independent was, you know, to try to be as relevant as possible and bring exposure to this program. Obviously, there's a bigger mission. There's something that's special about BYU and what BYU stands for, and so you want to bring exposure to that first and foremost. And then you want to start getting some love that you probably should have been getting, you know, back in the Mountain West days, more of that. And I think that they're on the path to do just that. You know, when you look at the last few years, yeah, maybe the wins may not have been there for us as fans, but as far as the relevancy, I mean, man, I go anywhere outside of the state with BYU and people are starting to notice and not just Mormons. I mean, these are just regular, you know, normal people. Not saying that Mormons aren't normal.
Where are you going with this, Brian?
Good catch, Brian.
Oh, man, I'm just talking. So, but you get my point is that, you know, I'm starting to get a lot more recognition, you know, this logo from, I would say, more than just the LDS community outside of Utah.
Absolutely, that's important. Brian, we appreciate the time, man. We'll get you back on soon. It's been a while.
No problem. Yeah, I need to come in and vent a little bit to relieve some stress. I've been working like a free slave, man. So this is
we'll get you in good studio ASAP. Brian Logan, we appreciate the time, brother.
All right, that was good.
It's Brian Logan on the Deseret First Credit Union Hotline. Deseret First, your values, your timeline, your financial future. Oh, that a guy like Brian Logan played on ESPN and not the Mountain, right? For his sake. And oh, that Brian were 6 foot and not 5'6". That would have helped too.
I don't remember which game it was that I was watching. It was on BYU TV the other day, and it was a football game. And watching Brian play, I was like, man.
He was a good player.
He was really good.
Like, he was amazing for his size.
Yeah.
You know, and so if he had been a
little
taller.
That's what
people taller, say about me. Yeah. Did you just qualify Brian Logan's greatness? He was just awesome, period, regardless of height. But if he had been taller, he'd be in the NFL, maybe. That's what I'm saying. How much value do you put into the BYU football post-spring depth chart? Keep the tweets coming. Big deal, no deal, coming up next. Welcome back, amigos. Jerem Jordan and Jason Shepherd in Radio Vision live on BYU Radio, simulcast on BYU TV, presented by the BYU Store, the official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
I was at the BYU Store the other day. I found my new favorite shirt.
What is it?
It's a golf shirt. It's a striped royal and white golf shirt, but it's got the Sailor Coug and the Nike symbol on the other.
I love it.
It's awesome.
Wear it next time.
I've got to get the pennies together to buy it.
You found it. Now you got to buy it.
Now I've got to buy it. Baseball begins a three-game series at Miller Park on Friday against Creighton, going out of conference. Friday's game is on BYU TV as well as BYU Radio at 8 p.m. Eastern.
With Jason Shepherd as the dugout reporter. If you haven't caught Jason on any of the broadcasts, check it out. It is good. Let's refresh today's BYU Sports Nation headlines. Football team released its post-spring depth chart yesterday. We broke a lot of that down earlier in the show and just talked with Brian Logan about it.
BYU defensive back Jordan Prater announced via Twitter he will be transferring from the team, saying the following, quote, "For those texting, calling, messaging, yes, I am transferring. No, it isn't my option. Yes, it's the best thing for me. Thank you, Cougs," end quote.
The baseball team falls to number 24, but still ranked, in the latest NCBWA poll following a series loss to St. Mary's over the weekend.
And the women's golf team is in first place after day one of the WCC Championship. Leah Garner is currently in second place, and Kendra Dalton is tied for third.
And the men are tied for sixth. Let's play a little big deal, no deal.
Big deal, no deal.
Presented by Brady Industries, a provider of commercial cleaning supplies and equipment throughout the western United States for over 65 years. Brady Industries Clean Solutions, a tradition for generations. Ben Bagley, our producer, and the control room will throw out a line. We'll tell you if it's a big deal or a no deal. Number one.
Big deal, no deal. Taysom Hill and Jamal Williams' names are on the depth chart.
What do you think, Jason?
Yeah, it's a big deal. We're talking about potentially your starting quarterback and your starting running back. Last time I checked, an offense needs both of those, and they're pretty important. So, yeah, I'm going to say big deal.
Normally, I'm the guy with the sarcasm here, but apparently it's from that chair. Yes, big deal. Absolutely a big deal. You know it's a big deal when you're a Brazilian soccer player, a.k.a. you go by one name, Taysom Jamal. You can't say that for everybody. It is a big deal that these guys are on BYU's team. That should not go overlooked. Number two.
Big deal, no deal. Freshman Troy Warner listed as a starter?
Yeah, it's a big deal. He's the only freshman on the defensive side that's listed as a starter. That speaks very highly not only of Troy, but also the confidence level that this defensive coaching staff has in the freshmen. So, yeah, I think it's a big deal.
Normally, I would be inclined to say no deal on April 19th about a depth chart, thinking it's too early.
But fall into the trap.
But I've seen Troy Warner play. I've seen what he can do, and I've talked to the coaches on this show and off the show about who he is. He is going to be a baller at BYU. So this is a big deal to have Troy Warner, one, at BYU, and two, that he is a starter right away. The hype train about Troy Warner is going. There it is. Troy Warner. And he will play on the offensive side of the ball as well. Don't forget that. Number three.
Big deal, no deal. Half of the O-line are listed at under 300 pounds.
I'll go first on this one. I think it's a big deal because when I look at the O-line, I don't just look at the starters. I look at the backups, too. And I see half of the offensive line sub 300. I know Mike Empey has told us on this program that he wants to get back to the traditional tall, big offensive lineman for BYU. And so there's some guys that need to gain some weight. But luckily, it's April 19th. You can eat those peanut butter and honey sandwiches in the middle of the night all summer.
With bananas.
Thank you.
For the reason you mentioned Coach Empey talking about wanting to get back to what BYU used to, I think it's absolutely a big deal. Because back in the day, the entire offensive line was well over 300 pounds. And if they're wanting to get to that and they're not there yet, then they've got some work to do. So I understand you still got time to eat all of those calories and add the weight. But I still think it's a big deal because if you're not there, you've still got some work to do.
Yeah, and you look at the starters. Brad Wilcox, 310, and Louis Lapuahu, 330. Parker Daw, 301. Tuna Canuch, 325.
So are they just averaging?
Austin Hoyt, 282. Yeah, you always... Yeah.
You just average?
The average weight 7'2", 406 for Mo Longhi and his buddies. Number four.
Big deal, no deal. BYU rostered tight ends have a combined 0 catches for 0 yards and 0 touchdowns.
I'm going so far on big deal on everything.
Somebody say no deal.
This isn't just hyperbole here. I think it's a big deal because we've heard how much they want, speaking of Ty Detmer and the offensive side of the football, how much they want the tight ends to be involved, not just as blockers, but catching the football. And you're now putting guys in there who have never been, at least at this level, have never been asked to do that and don't have the reputation of doing that to this point. So, yeah, it's a big deal.
It is a big deal when that group has the same number as we do. That is not good because we are sitting up here talking. We're not athletes. But I go no deal because we have not expected jack squat from this group the last couple of years. So the fact that they haven't produced anything yet doesn't matter because we haven't expected it. Number five.
Big deal, no deal. 13 of the 14 defensive front seven listed are Polynesian.
I think this is a big deal. This is interesting to me because obviously this coaching staff is majority Polynesian. I think that BYU is going to milk that Polynesian pipeline better than they have in the past, which is fun. And it's interesting to see the influence defensively, and this was prevalent on last year's team, of the Polynesians in BYU football. When BYU has good Polynesians, that equals good BYU football. So I think that's important.
Yeah, it's a big deal, and for a lot of the reasons that you mentioned, but the coaching staff has talked about, you know, reconnecting that Polynesian pipeline, and it looks like they've got a nice running start at it. You know, that's something that BYU in the past, that was just a given that you were going to get those athletes, and that hasn't always been the case. So the fact that you're getting back to that, that absolutely is a big deal.
Culture has changed, technology has changed, and so BYU's not getting the best Polynesians per se anymore. I think that they will challenge that status quo back to what it used to be a little bit more under Kalani Sitake and this staff. Number six.
Big deal, no deal. James Baird, the starting kicker, is a spring practice walk-on.
Let's talk about James Baird. 5'7", 160 freshman, out of spring. The guy comes in, works hard. He's the guy. Now, there is, I say it's a big deal because there's some anytime there's a concern for me anytime there's a point scorer and there's a question mark there, okay? The field goal kicker is an important piece. Remember how Bronco Mendenhall, anytime BYU got to the 30, BYU was not kicking long 40-yard field goals. That affected BYU's ability to score a few more points. And as we've seen over the years, BYU plays good ball. They don't traditionally get blown out very often, so field goals play a big role.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I'm going to go 6 for 6 on big deal.
6 for 6!
On big deal. I'm buying in. But, yeah, you're losing a really good place kicker. And that was something that, after a couple of years of some turmoil, had been solidified.
And with Trevor Sampson.
With Trevor Sampson, absolutely. And so the fact that you're coming in with a spring practice walk-on, and that's not a knock on James Baird at all, but
we don't know who he is.
Yeah,
really.
We don't know him, but this is something that you use quite a bit, and it can change, as you mentioned, how you make a decision on a drive.
Yet you look at, from James Baird's perspective, he's like, I wasn't even on the roster, and now I'm the starting kicker.
Good for you.
Hey, I worked hard, man. But because it's the kicker, it's, you know, we'll figure it out. We'll see him in spring, in fall football. Keep the tweets coming using the hashtag BYUSN. Coming up, everything that's going on in BYU sports in the whip. But first, the candy-giving softball coach, Kristen Delahousse, joins us in studio. What did she bring us? BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, the official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Welcome back. Jeremy Jordan, Jason Shepherd live in Studio B. Remember, the show's live noon Eastern. If you miss it, it's on weeknights. Rebroadcast at 6 Eastern time on BYU TV.
Softball heads across town to face UVU tomorrow afternoon at 5 Eastern time. The game can be heard on BYU Radio. More on that game coming up.
How much value do you put into the BYU football post-spring depth chart? That's our Twitter question today. Use the hashtag BYUSN. At 801 Salt Lake, about as much value as political promise.
So they mean those 100% of the time.
Wait,
that always happens.
But if they say that, then they do it, right? Use the hashtag BYUSN, weigh in on that. We think it has a lot of value. If you think otherwise, yeah, let us know. Like at 801 Salt Lake. Let's introduce our next guest from the softball team. She's an assistant coach. Her name's Kristen Delahousse. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation. This is the first time you've been on.
It's the first time I've been on. Thanks, guys.
You were a stud player. I used to call your games, and now you're a coach, so we're both still here. Here we are, and having fun. You are famous because we always talk about you. Any softball player that comes in, we talk about you. Are you aware of this?
I am aware of this.
Because of the candy.
Because of the candy.
When did giving out candy at first base begin?
We actually gave out candy when I played. Netta would coach first base, and she would give us Skittles.
Yep. Yeah.
So we've always been giving out candy, and I've just changed it from Skittles to pretty much whatever they request. Whether it be the color request or the type of candy request, we just make it happen.
What has been the most requested candy?
M&M's for sure.
However, at the bottom
of the lineup, you have Coco and Kinsey and Caitlin all kind of together. They all want Tootsie Rolls, but different flavors. So you can get like a little Tootsie Roll rally going on there at the bottom of the lineup, and it's going to be okay.
That equals runs. Mm-hmm. The more Tootsie Rolls you're giving out, the more runs.
Exactly.
There, right? Now, M&M's, I always question this. It gets warm out there. Do they melt? Is that weird? Is there lint?
In your mouth, not in your hands. That's the slogan.
Is there lint on them out of your pocket?
No, these are
logistical issues.
We definitely put everything in a plastic bag.
Mm.
And most of the time it is warm, but if you put it in the plastic bag, you just take it out between innings. It doesn't get too hot.
Okay.
Now, if we score a lot of runs, I have a problem. but they eat them all, so it's okay. Yeah.
Have you had an issue before when you score a lot of runs?
Yeah, but they still eat them, even if they're a little bit melted. They're not scared.
They don't care.
There's not like a peanut and they're choking still like second or something? I've always
No. Well, and we do give out like really big M&Ms. They're not regular sized M&Ms, so they take a little bit longer to melt.
Okay.
All right, so if you had the choice, what candy would you choose?
I'm not picky. I eat anything. Just anything that shows up.
Anything?
We do hand
black
out candy.
Black licorice?
Oh, no. Black licorice is not good. Sure. But we hand out candy on the bases, but also in my office, there's like a candy machine and a candy bucket, and it's just full of whatever gets requested, and we just fill it up, and I eat whatever's in there.
Now, you've been on the baseball side of things. I think you know where the candy is on the other side of the complex.
No.
You. She just told us in her office.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I'm actually heading over to baseball practice as soon as the show is over. I may, you know, meander over to the other side.
Yeah. You just stop by my office. You can see it.
All right.
We're about 2 minutes into this interview. All we've asked Kristen about is candy right now. But let's finish with this. Did you bring us any candy?
I did bring you some candy.
Yeah.
See, we got all kinds of options here. We got big M&Ms, Tootsie Rolls.
Boy, those are Tootsie big M&Ms.
Hot Tamales. I heard there was a little bit of a request going on for that.
Can I have a large M&M right now?
You can have a large M&M.
Right, blue. I'm going to give you the blue one. I'm going to take you. A free agency.
I'm going to eat it right now.
That.
Blue's the best.
I'm just going to eat it right now. I'm hungry.
You know what? I'm probably not. With the braces, eating that on TV is probably not a good idea.
Yeah, let's give you a noun later and see what happens.
I'll just eat mine in the break.
If we want you to shut up, we'll just give you a noun later. Tell us about this team this year, Kristen. 23-17, early in conference play. What do you think of the team so far?
The girls are strong. I mean, we have lots of different varieties, even though our roster is so small. I have a lot of girls that can play a lot of positions really, really well. A lot of athletes. Kenna's helping us out on the mound all the time with Olivia and Ari right behind her. All my girls can hit. All my girls can play defense. And they're pretty willing to do whatever we ask of them, because sometimes the lineup's got to change because we're so small. We have to say, hey, I know you've been an infielder, but I need you to play the outfield. And they're like, all right, let me go do it. Hey, I need you to play a different position. All right, just tell me where to go and when to be there. And they're really, really good about that. And they're so athletically strong that we don't really miss a beat doing so.
You've got UVU tomorrow. How is it different preparing for an in-state school, especially one that you're supposed to beat and you've had a lot of success against?
It's always you got like the target on your back. So you go into it thinking, all right, we got it, no big deal, we're going to go out and just play our game. But every once in a while, the monotony of, I mean, we play UVU at least twice a year, sometimes more. And so they're always a good team, and they want to beat us so bad that you have to make sure you come out like you're going to play the top 10 teams in the nation, because they want to beat you worse than anything else.
The mercy rule in Sopel is if you're up by 8 after the 5th at any point, you win the game. Do you like that rule? Because there's certain games where it's like, sweet, we're out of here early.
Right.
Other games, it's like, well, you didn't have the chance to really come back. Like in baseball, there's no mercy rule. You got to play.
Right.
You got to play all 9.
Yeah,
you play 7 normal.
You've watched some of those baseball games. It's been like 15-0. You're like, seriously, it's only the second inning. So it really is. It's a good thing. And sometimes it's like, that's what we're shooting for. Like, let's get in and out as quick as we can. But most of those games take just as long as any other game anyways. But it's nice that... Mm. You know, Kenna's thrown a lot of innings. It's nice to get her only 5 innings instead of 7. Or it's good that we can plug other people in as we go and things like that. But
you
it's
get paid
not...
the same, right?
Yeah.
There you go. So 5 innings it is.
And if they go around the bases that many times, we hand out just as much candy. So
Is that in the budget? Like the softball budget? There's like a candy portion of
there
that?
Probably should be.
She's hoping that there is.
Wait a minute.
At some point. Yeah. Now, we mentioned that you've got UVU tomorrow. You've played Utah. You've played Southern Utah. And I believe you're 4-1 against the in-state schools this season. How important is that to the program to have that kind of success against the in-state schools?
It's good because, again, a lot of the schools are really good in-state, especially Utah's gotten better since they've been in the Pac-12. But every school's shooting for us when we go out to play them. And so holding on to that reputation and winning those games is big for us, just to keep the tradition going and to keep the resume, I guess, of, you know, we're here to compete and we're here to win and we're going to be the best team in Utah or the nation when we get to that point, you know, one step at a time, though.
And the tradition is really strong with softball. This is a program that makes the NCAA tournament or the regionals, been to the super regionals once. What will it take for this team to get back to the regionals?
I just think we have to take it one step at a time. Occasionally we get in trouble because we start looking too far ahead and we press and I don't think we ever walk out on the field and think, oh, this is going to be an easy game, no big deal. We walk out on the field and think, all right, I should do so much better against this team than I do against other teams. So I got to make sure this happens or that happens, or we play a good team and I have to score runs, I have to do it for my team, and they start to press. If we can just take it one pitch at a time, that's what we need to do to be successful.
What do you think this team does really well?
We're really good at fighting all the way to the end. I mean, we do a lot of things really well, and when our defense is on, we play great defense. When our pitching's on, we have great pitching. When our hitting's on, it's hard to keep the ball in the ballpark. But really, at the end of the day, what we do the very, very best is just fight to the very, very, very last inning. We kind of get ourselves into trouble, and by the seventh inning, we've scored 5 runs or 6 runs to tie it or to win or whatever it takes.
She's Kristen Delahousie, the first base coach and assistant coach on the softball team. First time in Studio B, so we want to give you the BYU Sports Nation Karma for the UVU series, as well as St. Mary's coming up this weekend.
Thank you. So, you know, pass it all the way down.
So good luck. Yeah, BYU TV will have a couple of those games coming up Saturday, a doubleheader at 2 Eastern time. Do you mind signing our flag?
I would love to.
Awesome. Kristen Delahousie and the BYU Cougars will play Utah Valley. You can go ahead and sign it right now if you want.
Thank you.
5 Eastern time tomorrow. You can listen to that game on BYU Radio, and then, of course, Saturday against St. Mary's on BYU TV. Hey, coming up, a cornerback transfers, baseball drops in the polls, and the men's volleyball national award finalists are all in the Cougar whip around. This is BYU Sports Nation on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Can I have another M&M? You have another?
Awesome.
BYU Sports Nation is presented in part by DexterLaw.com. Help when you need it most. Let's whip it.
It's time for the Cougar whip around.
Football. The football team released its post-spring depth chart yesterday. Also, the Fan Fests are coming to a city near you. You can check out BYUCougars.com for a full list of the 6 cities. Also, the Orlando Sentinel released its top 25 non-conference games for 2016. BYU at Utah versus UCLA and at Michigan State all made the list.
The Fan Fests are coming to your city. BYU defensive back Jordan Prater announced via Twitter that he's transferring from the team, saying the following: for those texting, calling, messaging, yes, I am transferring. No, it isn't my option. Yes, it is the best thing for me. Thank you, Cougs.
Baseball.
The Batcat team falls to number 24 in the latest NCBWA poll following a series loss at St. Mary's over the weekend. They are also ranked 21st in the coaches' poll.
Golf.
Women's team is in first place after day one of the West Coast Conference Championship. Leah Garner is currently in second place. Kendra Dalton's tied for third. The men's team is tied for sixth.
Volleyball.
I feel bad reading the volleyball one.
Oh, do it.
I know what you're thinking. Off the Block announced that 3 BYU players are finalists for national awards. Ben Patch as best opposite, Brendan Sander for best outside attacker, and Michael Hatch for blocker of the year. Also, the middle attacker of the year is now called the Ryan Millar Award after the Cougar great.
Cougars in the minors.
Those will be announced, I believe, next week. Adam Law went 2-for-3 with the stolen base for the Tulsa Drillers in a 2-0 win over San Antonio. Future guests look like this. Mike Littlewood of the Batcats, the baseball team, will join us. Plus, women's tennis player Nicolette Polson will join us as well. That's coming up later this week. Today's Rise and Shouts brought to you by Dexter & Dexter. Help when you need it most, DexterLaw.com. How about women's golf? They're in first place after day one of the West Coast Conference Championships.
Can we give them a salute? I salute you?
Yeah. Okay. Story for you after the show about salute you.
Okay.
Just remind me.
Okay.
That's what we used to do at the beginning of the show.
Okay, yes,
yeah.
Yes.
And then it was nixed.
Okay.
So you brought it back.
Okay, am I in trouble?
No, you're not in trouble. It's just funny. To only me and you. I love inside jokes. I'd like to be a part of one day. Our Twitter question, how much value, said Michael Scott, how much value do you put into the BYU football post-spring depth chart? Let's go to the Twitter machine.
You've got tweets.
At @var_black, the only place I put value in it is where it shows a lack of depth. For example, offensive line, it's looking a little thin. Get it?
I see what he's saying. I think.
Agree or disagree on that?
I mean, we talked about it. I mean, it's they're not as big as they probably want to be at this point. I mean, it's a big deal right now. I mean, but you also need to realize that there's still several months to go.
Yeah, which is our point with, yes, this overall. But I think there is value to this because who's going to suddenly emerge during the summer when the coaches aren't involved in practice very much? It's not going to happen that much. There's some guys that will come in and do that, but not a ton. At @Rexburg_runner. I want to know what the depth chart looks like October 1st. So 1 month into the season. Now, that's an interesting take. Our elite tweet is this. @JK16. I feel like the Stephen Colbert Show is about to start every time I hear that. About as much as the value at McDonald's. It's cool and all, but in the end, not really worth it.
Hey, the spicy McChicken is...
Listen.
to die for.
Everyone loves McDonald's. You're lying if you don't.
And it's a dollar. A dollar.
Well, it used to be a dollar. Not anymore.
They are. The ones I get, the chicken sandwiches I get, are a dollar.
I better get them.
Thanks to our guests, Brian Logan, Kristen Dellahousie, and everybody on the crew. The conversation continuing 24-7. Don't forget to use the hashtag BYUSN on Twitter.
For Jason, I'm Jeremy. Shout out to Gary Nagy, BYU Sports Nation, back at it tomorrow, noon Eastern time. Good luck on